I'm going to talk about being a spiritual father, but I want to begin by recognizing to be a father is not easy. Would you all agree? If you're a father, I think you probably have some understanding. It's not easy. And really, for many of us, you know, I would probably laughingly say at one point in my life, I wish I had a book, right? I wish someone had given me a book on how to be a father. It's kind of a joke we have, but the truth is we do have a book. Amen? How many know you do have a book? You might have said you didn't have a book, but the truth is what? You do have a book. And this morning I want to look at that book, and the book is really called the Bible, and it actually tells you how to be a father. Did you all know that or not? How many of you, this is news? You didn't know that's in the Bible. How many of you knew in the Bible God showed you how to be a father? How many of you already knew that? Okay. It's in the Bible. It's very, very clear, actually. And so today I really want to talk about being a spiritual father. In the first four chapters, let's go to open up your 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And in the first four chapters of this letter of Paul, Paul writes, he's going to encompass a lot of problems in the church. And the most serious problem, you all know what the most serious problem was in the church? It was worldliness. That Corinthian church was a great church, but it was a very worldly church. They got wrapped up in the world and material possessions and things, and they ended up going very, very far from God. Paul encouraged them not to be so worldly-minded, but to separate themselves and live for God, and many of them didn't want to do that because they still wanted to live for the world. And so he's got to address these things with them. But while he's addressing the issues in their lives, he's also exploring with them his relationship to them. So that's going to be very interesting, amen? He's trying to speak into their lives, but at the same time, he's going to identify his relationship with them. And in these verses, he's going to tell them exactly what his relationship to them was. And you all know what it is? What's his relationship to them? Everyone knows? Says what? He's their father, okay? That's his relationship to the people. He's going to say, I'm your father. And so we're going to open up and we're going to read this because Paul's going to deal with what it means to him to be a spiritual father. And I believe that is not only for Paul. I don't believe it's just for pastors. I actually believe it's for every man. Amen? And so Paul's going to teach us really what it means. Now, we're going to be going over four key words, and they're kind of shocking words as you read them. Maybe you never understood them before, but my prayer for you today is that you do understand them, because we do have a book where God actually tells us what we are to do. And so it does take a little study and a little insight, but today we're going to have that. But I do want to say to you, how many know there's a lot of confusion today among men? A lot of confusion. Men are very confused. I mean, no, fathers are confused. A lot of fathers are very confused. And I think the reason is because, our society teaches us what a man is to be too, right? I mean, no, society teaches us, right? And the society teaches a man that he's to be what? Self-sufficient, right? Self-reliant, self-wisdom. And primarily that man works really, really hard. And he tried to accomplish all these things in himself. Amen? And that system is without God. And this creates a lot of confusion for men. Because the system, just like in that Corinthian church, remember I told you the main problem was what? Worldliness. The culture was coming into the church. And that's still happening today. The culture wants to get into the church and confuse men about their role, about what it really means to be a father. How many of you all know that's true, right? That's happening today. And I believe a lot of men are really confused about it. But I think when you read the Bible is very clear about it. And I hope today that our eyes will be open to really understand really what it means to be a father. And so let's open up our Bible as we read. Open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And we are going to be reading... What does it mean to be a spiritual father? 1 Corinthians chapter 4. You all have that? And we're going to be looking at starting with, let's start with verse 14. And let's go all the way down 14 through 17. You all have that now? Okay, so this is Paul explaining his relationship to them. And in that, he's actually going to tell them what a spiritual father is and what a spiritual father does. So in verse 14, he says to them, I am not writing this to what? Shame you. He didn't come to shame the people. And my prayer for you today is I'm not here to shame you either, okay? It's not what this is about. He said, I didn't come here to shame you. I've come here to warn you. As my beloved children, even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you've got 10,000 guardians, but I'm your father. Is that awesome? I'm your father. And I became your father. How? Through the gospel. Therefore, because I am your father, I love this. I'm your father. Therefore, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I am sending to you Timothy, my son, whom I love. He is faithful in the Lord. He will remind you, right, of my way of life in Jesus Christ, which agrees with what I teach everywhere in every church. Wow. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. So it's kind of interesting. Amen. And what he says actually is, in that verse 15, he begins by really making a distinction between a guardian and a father. And he says, your kids can have how many guardians? How many? What's your Bible say? 1,000. 10,000. How many know your kids could have 10,000 guardians? They could. And a guardian back then would mean that there would be people in your life who would actually be concerned for your more, a guardian in the New Testament would mean there would be people who would be concerned for your moral growth, your character. Okay? How many of those do you have? 10,000. Now that's an exaggeration, obviously, right? He's obviously exaggerating. But he's making a point. But the point is what? You might have them in your life, but you only have one father. And all God's people said. And it's so true. I think of how many men come to church and drop their kids off at church thinking, well, my job is done. No, not biblically. It's not done at all. Your job is not done at all. Those people you're dropping your kids off are guardians, correct? But they can never be their father. Amen? Because the role of a father cannot be replaced by 10,000 people. So as men, you have children. Okay, they might have guardians, but they only have one dad. Amen? And Paul is really making that point, and he actually says here, a child could have 10,000 of them. But notice what he says. But they do not have many what? But they do not have many, say this out loud, but they do not have many fathers. Let's say that out loud. But they do not have many fathers. So true today. We are in a society where fathers are not fathers. And he says, you got 10,000 of these guardians, but you do not have a father. And so that is a real word from the Lord. And really what Paul is emphasizing is that every child needs a spiritual father. Wouldn't you not agree? Every child. Your child needs a what? A spiritual father. Would you all not agree? We live in a society where our kids are orphans. Your child needs a what? Spiritual father. And obviously God put you in that child's life. And so I want to say to you as men, what? You are the father. Amen? And no one can replace your job. You can't delegate it or give it away. There's only one father, and that's who? You and me. I'm the father. But the key here is that we are spiritual fathers. And as men, we have been called to be spiritual fathers, and today I want to encourage you to be a spiritual father. So let's look at the characteristics of a spiritual man in a child's life, and I'm going to call you men fathers. Now, the first quality of a man, it's very interesting. I'm going to give you four words today. They're going to be very simple. The first quality of a father is begets. Okay? Look at verse 15. He said, even though you have 10,000 of these guardians and these people who are in your child's life, you don't have many fathers. For in Christ, what? I became your father. Or some translations say, I have begotten you. Is that awesome? So the first word is what? Begotten or beget. And how many know that's the role of a man? The role of a man is to beget. Now, Paul, obviously, in essence, is really saying that responsibility of a father is, first of all, to be concerned for your child's spiritual life. Would you not all agree? What's the most important thing in a father, that a father can do for their children? First thing and the most important thing is what? You are accountable to God for your child's spiritual life. Do you all understand that? It is a big responsibility, but you can't give it away. You can't deny it. You can't actually walk away from it. Amen? Why? Your job is to beget. And so I looked up this word. It's kind of an interesting word when Paul speaks about begetting. As we are concerned for our children's spiritual life, this is just the beginning. And as a man, we live and we move. And we have our being and we have our testimony in Jesus Christ. That's what a man does. Amen. But one of the characteristics of a man who's following Christ is our ability to reproduce. And all God's people said. So you're what? You're begetting. So you've got a spiritual concern for your children. And by the way, if you don't have that today, God can give it to you today. Because sometimes some men never understood this. They thought being a man was to do all the other things. Go to work, work hard, be self-sufficient. And they totally neglected the spiritual life of their children. The Bible teaches your primary role is spiritual development of your child. Amen? All God's people said. And if you haven't done that, I really want to encourage you. I'm not here to make you feel bad. All I'm saying is if your kids are 20 or 30 or 40, they still need you to have spiritual input into their lives. Amen? And so the word is, what? Beget. It means now you are to reproduce what is inside of you, and you are now to reproduce that in them. What do you think, guys? That is the role of a father. You're reproducing it. Because as a follower of Christ yourself, God's life lives in you. And now God, by the grace of God, gives you children. And with that now, he says, I want you to reproduce the life I put in you, and I want you to take that life and give it to your children. That is the role of a father. All God's people said. It's a very powerful role. I think of a child in a mother's womb for 9 months. The child is connected to the mother through the umbilical cord. Yes? That cord is the structure that actually connects the fetus with the placenta to the mother. And that placenta conveys food and nutrition and life to the child. Is that not how it works? And I really want to say the key word here is what? Connect. Right? So the life inside of you must connect to the life inside your child. You all understand that? Like the umbilical cord that brings that life through. It's a life, it's a way that the child gets nourished. Amen? And then when the child gets nourished, when it's grown, it's going to be released to come out. Amen? But it has to get what? It has to get the life. And what's the father to do? You are that life. You are to reproduce what God has given in you into your child. That is your major role. It's reproduction. Isn't that awesome? There should be a father should be concerned for the spiritual life of a child, and then transfers that life that's in you, you're giving that to your children. And all God's people said. How many of you guys are doing that? Like, you're taking the life that's in you, and now it's in your children. You are reproducing in you, in your child. You are, according to Paul, what's the word? Beget. You're begetting. You're reproducing that. And I really want to encourage you with that. That is such, it's a privilege. Amen? But the key is what? You got to be connected. All God's people said. See, it cannot happen if you're not connected. If a father is not connected to the child, you cannot do this. You understand that? You must be connected. That's the word. And why that's such a big word for me, it was because when I was growing up, I was not connected to my dad. Now, I have come to learn that my dad was present for me, but he was not connected to me. And that's the word I'm telling you. You must be connected. I mean, there's a big difference between being present and being connected. My father was present, but he was not connected to me. I could come home at night and my father could be in the house. He is what? Present. But my father is what? He is not connected to me. In order for you to take the life that's in you, what? You must be what? You must connect with your child. It's not enough for you just to be there. That's not going to do it. Why? No life can happen, right? The only way the life is transferred is what? Connection. There has to be a connection. And I really want to encourage you. I know for myself, I used to come home, my dad was there, but boy, he wasn't connected to me. I could go through things in my life, my father wouldn't know a thing about it. Why? He's not connected to me. So in order to bring that life, you must what? You must be connected to your child. Wow, isn't that awesome? Most important thing you're going to do as a father. Stay connected to your children. And I see my father, he was not connected to me emotionally. He wasn't connected to me spiritually. He just wasn't. Present, yes. Connected, absolutely not. And so today, how many know I'm going to struggle, right? Why am I going to struggle? Because my father never connected with me. So now, as a man, I've got to make efforts, amen? And I've got to connect with my kids. Why? Because biblically, it is my role to what? Beget. That is the word from the Lord. It must be beget. I've got to reproduce that in them. And I know that's not easy. But I want to say this to you. It's easy to stay unattached. All men agree with that, right? It's very easy for you to come home after work and be unattached to your children. That is what? Easy. Most men do it. They're exhausted from work, and they think because they come home now and they're tired, they don't have to be attached. That's the worldview of men. Biblically, you are to what? Beget. You must be attached to that child. You must spend time with that child to find out what's going on with that child, so the life that's in you now is transferred into them. You all agree? I know this is foreign to a lot of people, but that is the truth from God's word. Amen? So the first word is what? Beget. Now the second thing is not only must a man, a father, beget, but the second characteristic of a father is really kind of interesting. And the second characteristic of a father is a man who himself knows the word of God and passes the word on to his children. How do I know that? Read verse 15. He says, for in Christ I begot you. How? In Christ, I begot you. How did Paul beget him? Through what? Through the gospel. So how are you going to be doing the begetting? Once you're connected to that child, you not only have to beget them, now what you're going to do is you're going to have to know the power of the Word of God. A father not only reproduces, how will that be done? It can only pass to that child through the power of the gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ that has the power to change your child's life. How many of you already know that? What changes your child's life? The gospel. Amen. Is that what Paul says? He says what? For I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God, amen, to salvation for everyone who believes. Role of a father. And I love this word here, power. It says the gospel is powerful to change. Listen, if you say, Pastor, my child needs to change. They are so far away from what they're supposed to be doing. What then needs to happen? The gospel. That gospel's got to get to your child. Correct? It has to. The only thing that's going to change your children is what? The gospel. The gospel is power. It means dunamis. It means it's like dynamite. You ever get with your kids and say, my kid needs dynamite? The kids are lazy. They're not living the way they should. They need a stick of dynamite put under them. Well, you have dynamite. And what's your dynamite? The gospel. And don't be discouraged with it. What you're doing when you're speaking that gospel into your child's life is you love them enough to tell them the truth. You see how they're living. You know it's not right. Do you think seeing and knowing yourself is going to change that child's life? And the answer is what? It's impossible. You will change no one's life. What changes life? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The dynamite. Isn't that awesome? Dynamite can take your child and my children and get them from darkness into light. Can take them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen? It can take them from an old way of life to a new way of life. It can take your child, my children, from insecurity to security. How does that happen? One way. It's what? Through the gospel. It's awesome. Amen? This. Now, I know you might disagree with me, but I'm going to tell you something. This is what God has placed in you as a father to pass on to your child. And all the men said, see, you could be here today and say, oh, I don't think that's in me. Yes, it is. When God created you and gave you that life, he put in you what? You are to share the gospel. It is already in you. Don't go, Pastor, I don't know if I can do it. No. You can do it. He would have never let you become a father unless you were able to do that. And all God's people said, do you understand it? Don't start sitting back and say, oh, I can't do this, Pastor. My kids don't want to hear the gospel. Listen, God already put it in you. It's already there. Pass it on. Take the life that you have and pass it on to your kids. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says this, we have been approved by God to be entrusted, amen, right there, to be entrusted with the gospel. Even so, we speak, not as pleasing men, but you, when you speak those words of the gospel to your kids, you are pleasing God, because God put it in you, the power of the gospel. Isn't that awesome? It's a divine work, guys. It is a divine work in a man's life. The words is what? You have been approved. You have been entrusted with this. Has God not entrusted you to share the gospel with your children? According to this word, is it not true? Yes. He has called you to do it. He's what? Approved you to do it. And then he says, I'm trusting you that you will do what I told you to do, and you must pass that gospel on to your children. And all God's people said. I mean, you know, this is unlike what the world's going to teach a man. This is totally opposite what the world's going to teach a man. How to be a man. How to be a father. You pass that gospel on. How does it work? It works like this. See, how many know for a man, knowing the word of God yourself is going to guard you and it's going to change you as a man? Is that not true? It's going to change you. It's going to change you. The word of God's going to change you, right? You're going to get up in the morning. You're going to read the word of God. Because why? God's changing you. God's putting the word in you. Correct? And now what happens? Now that he's changing you with the gospel. Now what? Now he's called you to take the same change he's working in you. And now you do that for your kids. Can you imagine your child coming to you? I know this is far-fetched for some of you, but can you imagine your child coming to you one day and saying, "Hey, Dad, what's God saying to you? Hey, Dad, do you have a word from the Lord?" Now, I know some of you said, "My kid will never say that." But imagine if they did. But imagine if there was no word in you. And when the kid child says to you, "Dad, tell me the word," you say, "I have no word for you, honey." That's what happens. I want to say to you men, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God yourself. Because if it's not in you, what are you going to give to your kids? You got nothing to give them. But you have, that is not God's way. He says what? I've approved you. I've told you this is what you need to do. You get that word in you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? And in turn, if you do this, guess what? Your kids will get it. Do you understand? That's a promise from God. Because you're doing it. Because your kids are watching you. You don't go to church. You don't read your Bible. I had a man say that to me the other day. His son came to church here about a year ago in trouble on drugs. So he comes, "Pastor, I need to talk with you." And he pours out his heart to me, right? I feel like I'm his father. So I said, "Well, can you come to church?" So he said, "Well, yeah, I'll try to come." He came to church once. Showed up, sat in the back. I saw him the next week, he's not in church. I said to him, "Why aren't you in church?" You know what he says? "My dad doesn't go to church. We never went to church. Pastor, I can't make the transition to start coming to church." Where did he learn that from? His dad. And now he is stuck. Because the father now doesn't have that word in him to transfer that into the life of the child. I want to encourage you as men, you read the Word of God every single day of your life. Because before God, your job is to let that word in you change you, and you speak it to your kids, and it changes their life. That is your role as a man, as a father. And all God's people said?
Amen.
It's very powerful, isn't it? So the first word is what? Men, beget. Second word? Through the gospel. Third word. Third word is this. You do it by love. Notice what it says there. I love verse 14. I really want to encourage you guys. How are you going to do this? You're going to do it by love. Notice what he says in verse 14. "I am not writing these things to..." I am not writing these things to... I am not writing these things to... Okay, fathers, you don't shame your kids. You get that? You know that, right? You don't go to your kid and know they're done wrong and they're far from God and you think you're going to shame them into it. Guess what, men? You never shame your kids into it. You never take a club and beat them over the head with it. Correct? That's all called shame. It's a shame base. You're ashamed you haven't done yours. Now you use shame in their failures and you think that's going to change them? No, no. Paul said very clearly, what? "I am not writing this so that you would shame anybody. Do not shame your children." And all God's people said? Notice so. But you are to what? You are to warn them. Amen? How do you warn them? I love this. My Bible says, "as my beloved children." Third word is what? Love. Main job of a father. Write it down, all you men. First job is what? Beget. Second word is God. Third word, you love. How many know the most important thing you can do to your child is what? You got to love that child. Somebody say, "Pastor, you don't know my kids." I don't need to know your kids. All I need to know is before God, your main job is what? To love that child. And you do not shame them. You do not shame them. You love them. But I want to say something to you because here's the insight I want you to have. Guess what the word here for love is? Anyone know what it is? There's three words in the Greek for love. Does anyone know what this word is? It's agape. Marcia knows. How does that change? It changes everything. Do you understand that just changed everything? See, if a father says, "I love my child because they're my child," that's not enough. That's not enough for you to change that child. Just because you love your child, it's not enough. What's enough? Agape love is enough. Agape. You know what agape love is? It means you've got a divine love. It's not just a human love. You know, fathers can say, I love my child. But it's a human love. When Paul speaks here, what kind of love is he talking about? A spiritual, a divine love. When he looks at his child, what kind of love does he have? It's a divine love. How many know that's going to change how you look? You understand that? You look at your child in the natural, you'll see one thing and you'll do something. You look at your child with the love of God, your whole perspective has to change. And the word in this context is what? Agape. So when that child came into the world, God also gave you something. What did he give you? Agape love. You might be here to say, Pastor, my child is so hard. They don't want to listen. Listen, that's fine. But I want to tell you what you got when God brought that child in. God gave you what? Agape love for your child. How many already know that, man? How many know you got an agape love? You got an agape love. God wouldn't have let you become a parent without it. And all God's people said, that's powerful. Isn't that how powerful that is? See, human love's not going to get it. Being a father's not going to get it. Agape love will get it. Strong love. It's a deep love. It's a love that comes from God for your child. Amen? Do you understand? So what do you have? You got a love from God for your child. So when you're going to that child, something is inside of you that's different when you talk with them. It's not you. It's God. How many men do you understand this? Do you understand this, men? This is the reality of it. It'll change your whole life. And if a man, think of it, has that kind of love for his child, what will that do? Let me give you three things it'll do. Absolutely. I mean, write these down because you need to get these. Number one. If you do have that love, number one, a father who's got that kind of love, you know what they want for their child? They want their child to walk in obedience to God. Correct? If you say, Pastor, I've got an agape love for my child, what do you have inside of you? You want your kids unconditionally to obey God. Do you understand that? It's not you're getting along with their disobedience, right? What do you want? I love God. God's given me a love for Josh, for Kate. So now what? I've got a love, and what's that love mean? I want them to walk in complete obedience to Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Number two, it's not just children are going to obey God, but I believe a father's heart is to want to see that life of that child become purposeful. Right? You already have that in you for your kids? You have that in you for your kids already? See, some people already have it. What? Because they know God is going to use them because you want, what do you want for your kids? You want them to walk in obedience to them. You want God to fulfill their life so they live a life that will honor God. That is in you. It is in every man. It is not yours. It is God's. God gave it to you. So when you're talking to that kid, you're like, God's got a purpose for you. You're going to walk with God. I want you to live this life. And it's not you. It's God in you with a love for them that they live that way. Have you figured that out, guys, or not? It took me time as a man myself, I'll confess. I didn't understand this. I would see Caitlin and them. I would say, I really want you to live this way. I was like, why do you talk like that? Why would a father talk like that? Why? Because what? He's given me agape love for my kids, and that's how they should walk. So I'm talking to them. I want them to live that way. Do you understand that? It's very powerful stuff. And number three, what you're going to want to do if there's that, and there is that love for you, you're going to want them to live to the fullest potential. Amen? Is that already in you? Do you look at your kids and say, I want them to walk with God all the days of their life? I want to obey God. I want God to fulfill the reason He created them on earth. Is that what you want? See, it's already in you guys. You understand that? And it's not your love. It's whose love? It's God's love through you to your kids. That is your role as a man. And you'll never hear this anywhere else. I guarantee it. And all God's people said. Fourth word, First word is what? Beget. Second word is? Through the gospel. Third word is? Agape love too. Not just your love. Agape love. Fourth word. Key word. Guess what it is? Warn. Warn. What does Paul say as he's their father? I am not writing this to what? Shame you. I am writing this to warn you. How many know what a good father does? A good father is going to what? Going to warn your child. Do you all understand this? Who's going to see in the child the sin of the child? Who's going to see in the child the sin of the child? Fathers, who's going to see it? Who's going to see it? You will. They might not even know it. God says to you, look at how they're living. Something's wrong with the way they're living. Who sees it? Did they see it? They don't see it. They're saying, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Why? Because God shows the Father. So if God's showing the Father the areas of weakness, the sin, the disobedience, tell me what the Father now should do. You should warn your child. You don't beat him up, but you warn him. How many know the worst father in the Bible? Y'all know who the worst father in the whole Bible was? Who was he? What's the worst father in the Bible? What's his name? Worst father in the Bible. What's his name, guys? Worst father in the Bible. Who is he? Well, let me put it this way. Worst father in the Bible from my position. Maybe that'll help you. What's his name? Who said it? No? That's good. No, Eli. Eli was the worst father in the Bible. The worst. Why was he the worst? Read your Bible. Can you put up the next one? Put up the next one. It's in. Let's go there. Open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3. Why is this the worst? You know why it's the worst? Here's the worst. The father knew the sin of the child, knew the lifestyle, knew everything they were doing was wrong, and decided to say nothing. God condemns the father. Because the father knew what the children were doing, and the father says, I'm not going to warn them. Worst father in the Bible. You all understand that? Why is he the worst? Because he knows. He says to him, in 1 Samuel 3:13, listen to what he says to him. God says to him, Eli? Eli? I will judge you. Wow. I'm going to judge your whole house forever and ever and ever. I'm going to judge you. You knew what your kids were doing. You knew what your son did. It was vile. It was sinful. You knew it. And you did not restrain your own children. You, Eli, are guilty. You know what? You don't love your kids. You do not love your kids. If you had loved them, what would you have done? Warn them. And all God's people say, how many know a father who loves is going to warn? Has your father ever warned you? Now, I know you didn't like it at the time. But when he warned you, was it a good thing? Yeah, I remember the day my father warned me. And I can only think of one time my father warned me. I had bought a car for $3,000. I drove the car for a year. I put 12,000 miles on it. I came home one day and said, Dad, I'm selling my car. He said, how much are you selling it for? I said, $3,200. He woke up the next day and was so mad at me. He said, son, there's something wrong with you. Why are you living that way? You see, my father saw what? Saw something wrong in me. And he was willing to correct me. You know the impact that my father had on me through that one correction? See, God had shown, I didn't even know it. I thought it was a good deal. I thought I was being a good steward. But I wasn't. Why? Because God showed my father what was really going on in my heart. At the time, I didn't like what my father said. Today, I say thank God for my father who warned me. Because he saw something in me that shouldn't have been there. You all understand that? Do you understand that? I want to encourage you. Warn your children. You know, don't just live life and say, well, I'm not going to point it out to them. You are not helping your child. Now, I know you don't want to beat them up, right? The Bible says you're not to beat them up or shame them. But it does say what? You have to warn them. How many of you are the men of God that will warn your children? I pray you are. Because before God, it is your responsibility. Oh, it's not something you're going to hear in this world. But it is something you're going to read in that book. And that is your guide to how you're to live. So what are the four words? First is what? Father begets spiritually. Father what? Shares the gospel. Third, loves your child like you never loved them before. You pour out your love into that child like you never have. A divine love. Five, four, you warn them. How many of that's a real father? That is a real father. And Paul says what? You might have 10,000 other people in your life, but what you need is what? One father. You're that father. You are that father. No one can replace you. No one can do for that. I couldn't. Bring them to church. I'll talk with them. I can't do it. Nobody can do it. Only you can do it. You are the father. And all God's people said. Are you guys all set with this? This is powerful stuff. This is like, I go like, whoa. Thank you, Lord, for revelation. So in closing this morning, our kids would like to say something to their fathers.